Welcome to the Sourcing Hero podcast, produced by UNA, a group purchasing organization that empowers sourcing heroes, and Art of Procurement, the world's largest procurement podcast network. I'm your host, Kelly Barner. The goal of the Sourcing Hero podcast is to capture the epic stories of people who are rising up and beating the odds to create exceptional value within procurement, directly from those heroes themselves. Today I am speaking with Kartik Rama, who you may also know as the Procurement Doctor. During his 17 plus years in procurement, he has participated in transformations all over the world with varied companies and in different industries. Based on all that, I suspect that he has a story or two to share with you. Hello, Kartik, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, Kelly, thank you for having me on. Many stories to share. So,
well, before we get into those stories, let's give everybody an opportunity to get to know you. Can you please share a little bit about your current role?
Sure. So I'm right now working at a startup it's a procurement tool based off the blockchain. I'm a procurement transformation leader here. So my role entails me providing strategy to the product development, and I'm bringing in the procurement expertise, the industry expertise, as well as the procurement technology side of things, just so that I'm the internal procurement guy for them, in case they're building something that is completely out of context for procurement guys. So it's blockchain, so it's a lot of fun for me personally. So that's the learning aspect for me personally.
Well, and that's always good, right? We always want there to be some learning aspect to the work that we're doing. Now, what types of roles or maybe something about the path on your professional journey actually led you to be in this position?
Well, 17 years back, so it's rewind to 17 years back. So I had this option of joining a finance company, like an accounting guy, and procurement. And I didn't know what the heck procurement was, so I just jumped in it, right? And then it just got interesting day by day. So I was the average procurement guy doing the day-to-day handlings of running RFPs, changing the POs, invoices, finding the contract, right, at the critical stage, just trying to make ends meet. And luckily, this organization was trying to set up a center of excellence. So I ended up helping set up the center of excellence in India. So I was amongst the first 10 guys who got hired. So I learned by falling and being hurt multiple times, but that's the best way to learn, right? And I've done that with other organizations as well. So all this entailed in me managing a category, right? As well as also doing the transformational work in terms of changing the policies, the procedures, implementing them, helping them as the in the procurement technology transformation. And that happened for a while, maybe 30% of those 17 years. And then I moved into procurement consulting, which entailed me into going to multiple organizations and helping them with tweaking their business process, so to say. Also, if they didn't know how to figure out which technology to pick or whether they need a technology or not, I helped in those aspects as well. So some part of that work was, again, me doing independent consulting or being a contractor as such. So that's pretty much been my journey so far. And I thoroughly enjoy it. And I think I did the right decision by joining procurement, so to say.
Absolutely. Well, you're certainly not alone in ending up in procurement without really having any idea what it is. That almost seems to be a prerequisite for having a career in procurement. Now, before we go into your experience with consulting, I think the first story, people will be upset with me if I don't start here. How is it that you started referring to yourself as the procurement doctor, and what does that mean to you?
Wow, I keep getting that question asked from strangers as well. So there's someone who just sent me a connection request on LinkedIn. It's like, what the heck is procurement doctor? What does it mean? Is it a title, or which company has this kind of a title? So procurement doctor, and why procurement doctor? I'm called upon when a procurement organization is not doing well. Okay, they got the health issues. I come in with my stethoscope and check the heartbeat, vis-a-vis understand the current pain points, right? And get in and check if they got a diabetes report or a blood pressure report, which is looking at your policies, procedures, and your last year's audit reports, right? And provide my diagnosis or recommendations as to what needs to be fixed in the current processes, right? And if they're looking to start, a keto diet, right? Like taking up a technology or whatever may be the case, I will go in and tell it whether the technology makes sense or if they're doing okay. If they're not aiming for the moon, I'll say you can just tweak your business process and this should do it for now. If you don't have the money or the time or the aptitude or the maturity to leap far ahead. So that's what I've been doing. And that's why procurement doctor. And the funny thing is, I'm also called upon a lot of second opinions as well, where someone else has done a project. If they either messed it up or the client is not too sure whether they're going the right direction. And they call me in and I say, okay, this guy, he's a good doctor. You can go by him or hire me. I'll fix things for you. So that's what's been my story on the procurement doctor. And funny note on the side, my mom always wanted me to be a doctor. So this way, at least I get to be a doctor on LinkedIn and for my community.
Oh, yeah. We got to keep the moms happy, right?
Absolutely.
And as long as you're working by the Hippocratic Oath, right? This first, do no harm. That's certainly something that all of us should live by, whether we happen to be medical doctors, procurement doctors, or consultants.
Absolutely.
So along that line of working in consulting, I think most people have had contact with a consulting firm or an individual consultant at some point in their careers, but they may not actually have a great deal of understanding of what the day-to-day role of an independent consultant is in a transformation journey. So let's dig a little bit deeper into that. If you could set the stage for listeners by talking more about this type of work and what an average day for you entails.
Absolutely. So I have fortunately, during my time at, remember what I spoke 17 years ago, early in my life, I worked with the Big Four. We hired them as consultants. So I got to learn a lot from those consultants, right? And there's always a suspicion, similar to when a sales guy comes to talk to you, right? You're not sure whether he's selling the right stuff or he's got his objective, right? And to some extent, even these Big Four companies also, people are like, they're a little skeptical. And I wanted to be the guy in between, and that's where the independent consulting piece has started. And I'm the guy who shows the true picture or the truth, right, to the procurement organization. And for me, it was majorly being unraveling the current situations that the procurement organizations have been, and show them the procurement doctor's view of where they're at, what issues they're facing, based on the symptoms that I've looked through the diagnostic study, right? And I kind of plot them in terms of people, process, and technology and data. Because if they're looking at all these aspects for a transformation, all these pieces come into the picture. I add in one or two, depending on the specific pain points of the customer, right? Mm-hmm. If they're focusing on contracts in particular, what angle it is in, right? And so that's the overall aspects that I see in terms of the independent contractor work.
Now, when you come in to start early in a project, I imagine that step one, right, is probably understanding what they're doing today. So what role would you say that policy and procedural reviews and then potentially down the road changes play in the overall process of transformation?
Absolutely. So that's the blood report, right, as per the procurement doctor, right? You need to check if there's something that you're getting from your forefathers inheritedly, right, from the older CPO or the Gregorian policies that haven't changed for many, many years, or you have like a half page of procurement policy. So it's very critical. It's very important, according to me. I recommend that we as procurement processes with teams would need to look at the current policies even before a transformation. Is because it kind of gives you that preliminary business requirements that you want to put together before you select the vendor or the tool or the consultant or whatever may be the case. You'll understand what all loopholes are there, And if you intend to take a technology, you need to ensure that the policy speaks to the technology. I've seen implementations where I go in to deploy a particular tool, and the policy says something else, and the tool is getting implemented in a completely different way.
Yeah. Right?
And there's no bridge of communications out there. And I see that as the importance of reviewing the policy and procedure to start things with, and that will further drive into your business requirement document. Or if you need to tweak it, you have to tweak it.
Now, I have to think that this is one of those areas where it's particularly important to maybe work with someone outside of your organization. In your opinion, can procurement objectively review their own policies and procedures, or is this really one of those things where you need an objective set of eyes?
Well, I'm okay. If the current policy or procedure, what you have is you don't have much of a policy, right? Then maybe you could look at someone building it and getting it. I definitely see as having a outsider view as key, right? Because they bring in the best in class processes, even their organizations and all that. Unfortunately, a lot of the procurement organizations today, they think that they have the best in class processes because they've not seen anywhere far off, right? And they're happy with whatever they're doing. And it's important for you to look at the larger picture and see how you're impacting the other departments, what is the overlap, right? And many other aspects. I've had many CPOs who thought they had the best processes until I came in and drew a picture on the whiteboard and showed them the loopholes between their processes and their technologies, and if the technology is backing the process or not. If you don't have much money, at least hire a good quality intern to do it for you, right?
Yeah.
and at least you'll get some truthfulness out of it. So you don't need to hire me, but at least have someone, me or a consulting firm or somebody internally, take a good intern and try running it through him as a program, him or her, and see what are the results that you get.
Okay. Now, the goal of transformation is to purposefully change some things, right? And change is not necessarily easy. We're all human. What are the tasks or maybe the conventions or traditions that you find procurement teams have the hardest time letting go of during that process of transformation?
Yeah, so I have a few points out here. When I look at this particular question, right, Kelly, I see not letting go of their current process, right? And if the current process, if they not reevaluating the current process, basically it again ties back to the policy, the procedure, not willing to change that, right? Maybe that step doesn't make sense anymore. It's been there for a while. I've seen few situations where it was a paper-based process. They didn't even have a technology, right? But they just want to replicate the same paper-based process in the system, which doesn't even make sense. Right? So we need to be a little acceptable to change, right? To bring, there is some bit of customization that you can let happen, but not to the extent that it just replicates whatever you're doing today. You have to adapt to what is the good things that is coming out of the procurement transformation. The other thing I've seen is, from a procurement team sole perspective, moving away from not having savings as the only main objective. So that's another thing that they need to move away, because whenever they're building this new transformation, if savings is the only angle, everything else goes for a toss. I've seen folks who don't want to give away menial tasks or something like, for instance, self-service buying or guided buying. Mm-hmm. Right, it's an easy way to let go of some stuff which the end user can do, but a lot of organizations still don't want to implement that. They say I want everything to come through procurement. So those are the couple of things that come to my mind on that question.
Okay, now when you're working with a procurement team that really does have a good group of experienced, maybe even high-ranking individuals on the team, how do you find the best approach, or what is the best way to simultaneously respect the knowledge and experience currently in the team while also maybe changing the organization or changing how things are structured, or even altering how procurement engages with the business? How do you say, you know, yes, it's very impressive what you know and what you've done, but we need to lead some change here. How do you balance that?
Yeah, well, this is a question that's very close to my heart. I've dealt with a lot of procurement professionals whose age is equal to the number of years I've been on planet Earth, discounting the time I've been on Mars. But I've had a lot of these experiences. And well, for starters, I would suggest listen to what they're saying. Right? If not anything, you learn from their experience. And the most important thing is you need to understand their point of view. Right? I've had a problem with this in the beginning. Right? I want to jump on to answer or cut them off and give my piece, my two cents. Right? And then analyze, for sure. If you don't know the answer right away, take time. There's no harm in telling, let me come back to you on that, right? If you have a very good, concise, logical answer, then you could respond to it. I would not preferably respond to it one-on-one if it's somebody who's senior and is he's not being, if he's being a little abrasive with you on the conversation, right? I would rather do it on a one-on-one basis, or if it's something very logical and you see that it makes sense, you could speak. I would prefer to have data, right? And just to overcome that, if in case there's still no change and you see that it's still going the other direction and you're not happy with it, you need to be truthful for yourself. The theme out here is you need to be truthful to yourself and the clients, else you don't want to fall flat on your face, right? If it's still not working out that way, I would suggest if there's someone higher up, speak to them. The same point, the choice of options that you said and why you think it's not right. And if it's still not going your way, I would potentially take a sign off because it's a choice of their own. And I see it as a critical thing for their business. And I think it's not the right way to do. So I take a sign off saying that this one's on you, my friend. I have not agreed to it. So that's what has worked for me over the years. And I've tweaked this over and over again by meeting many people. So this has been my secret recipe.
Oh, well, it's not secret anymore. We had discussed, we're recording this, right? You agree to that. So the doctor's secret is out. One last question for you before we actually move on and talk a little bit about sourcing heroism. Earlier in the conversation, you specifically talked about sort of the traditional people, process, and technology, but you added data as a fourth standalone element. Mm-hmm. Can you talk for a moment about why you consider that important enough to list it out as separate and not considering it as sort of a component of technology?
Oh, it's because I've been delayed on projects by 6 months, 3 months, 4 months because of messed up data. And I've seen customers thinking that they have the state-of-the-art data, right? And they're like, we are ready for deployment. And the few tools which say, I'll deploy this in 2 weeks' time, right? But the customer isn't ready as yet. They've got a messed up database. And that is very critical if you want to make two systems to talk, right? Even if you want to implement RPA or whatever may be the case, the data should at least be of some meaning. And I've had customers where I've deployed contracts. I've tried to upload 35,000 of their contracts. And they don't have any data. It's all in PDF. It's not even on an Excel sheet. Now imagine the magnitude of work that I need to update to upload the 35,000 contracts. So that's why I bring in that element. It is also very critical to take those important decisions, right? If they're specifically asking for a customized solution for a particular piece, and the number of transactions in that piece is like 3 transactions in a year, why would I even spend time on it in customizing the entire freaking solution, right? I would make it do it manually. So we need to take those logical decisions as well as CPOs or even consultants. I wouldn't push for the technology still in that case, right? I would say this is logical. Why don't we go this route?
Absolutely. So as you well know, this is the Sourcing Hero podcast. So let me get your unique take on that. What does the idea of a sourcing hero mean to you?
Well, for me, a sourcing hero is someone who's a hero to the business users or the requester or the department guys, right? You should be someone who makes their day. And remember, it's not all about savings, guys. You know what I mean.
Can you think back on your career? Is there a tough lesson that you worked or learned through early on that had a significant impact on your career as a whole?
Well, so back in the day when I was working as the buyer or the category guy, right? And it was right at the beginning of my career. I used to handle the categories within environmental services, which was wastewater treatment, waste management, remediation services, and things like that. Back then, I didn't care about the category. I was just bashing on for standardization, right? And I didn't care what entails in each of the categories because I was setting a center of excellence. I wanted to have as much a standard as possible. And that's something that kind of hit me back in terms of my clients not being happy because of me bashing on standardization, regardless of understanding the nitty-gritties of the categories, or I didn't look at what the category meant. I just thought, my job is procurement, I'm just going to procure things and get things done.
Absolutely. And if someone were early in their career, doctor, what might you suggest they look for as symptoms in themselves that might indicate they were at risk of sort of making a similar mistake to that? How do you advise people to make sure that what they're doing really does serve the needs of the business?
Yeah, so that's a wonderful question, Kelly. So if I continue to do whatever I did back early in the career, right? Ideally, that could be done by a bot. Right, if that's the only thing I had to do. So that's where the fun stuff is what the end user is requiring, the category management. Or for me personally, on this experience, I had an opportunity to travel to the States. I sat with each of the category or the site heads. I understood in which truck the radioactive waste was going to be taken. Why is that truck required? How far it needs to be dug deep in the earth for it to be disposed. All those kind of stuff. Then I found more meaning to my job as opposed to just flipping a PO to an invoice or finding the contract and renewing it. So that's where the real fun element is. And I think all of us should try and get that category expertise. And once you get that, I feel as though it's very easy to win it or sympathize, or the business users ideally are on your side. Because you're talking their language, it's helpful with your suppliers as well, because they don't get to fool you. You don't need to have the business guy, or he just chips in if it's needed. So that's where I think would really help all the new people to pick up as. And that's one piece. Another one is, you see how the world is moving, right? RPA, blockchain, machine learning, all of this. So you definitely need to be receptive to change. And also, you can't say that I don't know how to use an Excel. If you're at that, then you need to change for sure. And you need to be very adaptive to technology as well. At least try to keep yourself up to date or try your hands at whenever you get the opportunity of utilizing a new technology. If you look at the report from Deloitte as well, digital transformation is still in those top 10, right?
Yes.
It's not like it's not gone away as yet. And that's what a CPO is thinking. And if your career path is to go that route, you definitely need to look into these things.
Now, speaking of career path, we started this conversation by sort of joking and acknowledging that an awful lot of people who end up in procurement did not set out to do so. If we have someone listening to us that's maybe a future sourcing hero that's thinking about starting a career in procurement or who is just discovering it for the first time, what, in your opinion, is the best thing about working in procurement that might help win them over to take the plunge and join us?
That's a lovely question. So what I see on this in particular, Kelly, is I would suggest if you are somebody who's new, okay, I would suggest join in, get the fun of it, look at the category, look at the different angles within procurement. But if a major part of your current work entails you uploading a document into a tool, pulling a data from an Excel sheet and updating a field within the system, right? Or sending an email out of the system. So if this is major part of your day, then I would suggest you talk to your manager and try and contribute in a more strategic way in terms of how you work in terms of with your business teams, right? In the terms of the negotiation, managing the rapport, the relationship, all that really matters, because even AI or RPA, they cannot sympathize with people. All they can do is do this small stuff, which is all the way better for a tool to take up, right? But AI is still trying to pick up the to sympathize with the particular person, but we are still there. I think that's going to take a long time for it to come over. But this is, at least if you're starting here would be good, is because you don't want to run into the trap of being worried what's going to happen to me after a few years and all that stuff.
Excellent. Well, Kartik, I so appreciate you spending all this time with us, giving us a little checkup and sharing your story with us. If listeners are interested in what you've shared and want to connect with you, what do you recommend is the best way to get in touch?
Oh, I spend most of the time on LinkedIn. You can search by my name, Kartik Rama. And I'm on Twitter. I've got a YouTube channel as well. So I'll share that with Kelly so that she can add it to the show notes. So on Twitter, I'm available by the Twitter handle procurementdoc, D-O-C, right? And YouTube, there's a channel by the name Procurement Doctor as well. So you can search that and find me there as well.
Excellent. So then you have made yourself very easy for us to find. Kartik, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Kelly. This has been fun.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sourcing Hero podcast. Join us again next time for more true stories of sourcing and business heroism performed by your colleagues and peers. Look for The Sourcing Hero wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe. Finally, don't forget, sourcing heroism is taking place all around us every day. Keep your eyes open and you're bound to see it. Until next time, I'm your host, Kelly Barner. Stay well, and always remember that you can be a hero too.